This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV, 5 things you need to know for Monday, April 1st, 2024, in about 10 minutes. I'm Derek Gilbert. Item number 5 today, Easter at the White House, or Resurrection Sunday if you prefer, that's our preferred term. The Biden White House kicked off a firestorm on Good Friday by choosing that day to announce that Sunday would be Transgender Visibility Day. In other words, making Transgender Visibility Day officially coincide with Easter Sunday. Despite criticism from various politicians, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, went on X Saturday to double down, reaffirm that Sunday is to be designated the Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, this is a day that actually began about 15 years ago when a transgender activist decided that March 31st would henceforth and forevermore be known as the Transgender Day of Visibility. They didn't want it to be too close to the Transgender Day of Remembrance in November or Pride Month or any of the other, I think there are 140 days designated as official days for the LGBTQIA plus movement. So what's one more? Well, okay, for 15 years, since 2009, March 31st has always been Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, the Biden White House could have just let this go. I mean, it was coincidental. They didn't deliberately pick the day to fall on Easter Sunday, in other words. It just, this year was a coincidence. But the Biden White House could have just let it go and just said, we're not, no, they chose 2024, the very first time it's fallen on Easter Sunday, as far as I know, to be the first president to officially recognize Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, why did they do this? I can think of a few possible reasons. First is that they just didn't notice the coincidence because none of them in the White House really pay attention to days that are sacred to Christians around the world. I find that to be highly unlikely. Somebody probably looked at a calendar, said, hey, this is Easter Sunday, and they went ahead and did it anyway. Now, why would they do that? A couple of possibilities. They're too frightened of the radical left inside the Democratic Party, which is possible. You've got some really angry far-left individuals in the Democratic Party. But it's not like President Biden is facing a primary challenge. He is, however, facing other political candidates running for president that are to his left, like Cornel West, Robert F. Kennedy, Jill Stein, people who might siphon off votes during the general election and help President Trump win some of those swing states. Well, that's possible, too. I think looking at this from a supernatural perspective, with a supernatural worldview, that the spirit of the age called throughout the ages Inanna, Ishtar, Astarte, Aphrodite, Venus, Queen of Heaven, Whore of Babylon, the world's first openly and proudly transgender entity, praised in Sumerian hymns 5,000 years ago for changing men into women and women into men, for saying in some of these Mesopotamian texts that she's usually a woman, but sometimes she's a man. I think the spirit of the age is what is driving this agenda. And frankly, she or it really don't care what followers of Jesus Christ think, thinking that it's time now for this agenda, her agenda, or its agenda, to go forward. Topic number 4, the Baltimore Bridge. We are still waiting for an estimate of how long it's going to take to repair the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River at Baltimore. Federal government has authorized $60 million for salvage efforts to recover the steel. It'll be melted down, made into new steel beams and what have you. But they've got to clear the port because it is a rather important port, the most important port in the United States for the import and export of automobiles, light trucks, farm equipment. Also very important for the import of coffee, sugar, export of coal, things like that. But even beyond that, there are a couple of issues. Besides the fact that you just got a lot of really heavy metal now in the river, it appears that according to Captain John Conrad, who's the CEO of a website called G-Captain, which specializes in tracking the shipping industry, the Dolly, that's the cargo ship, may be sitting on top of a high-pressure underwater gas line. That would definitely complicate things. They need to scan it and assess the risk before they move that ship. Meanwhile, we also learned last week that two high-speed military cargo ships are stuck in the port of Baltimore. The Algol-class ships, some of the fastest cargo vessels of their size anywhere in the world, and two other reserve sealift ships are stuck in port in Baltimore. They're part of the Ready Reserve fleet used by the U.S. military to move military equipment lots of it, quickly to a war zone. Topic number three, red heifers. The red heifers you've been hearing about, we've been talking about here on 5 and 10, as news comes available, they were shown off at Shiloh, that is in Samaria, this past week. There was a conference at Shiloh on Wednesday, about 120 people attended, discussed mainly the theoretical aspects of the ritual described in Numbers chapter 19 to burn the red heifers after their sacrifice. This is a purification ritual that would precede construction of the third temple. The organizers took a few moments to name the five heifers: Tikva, which means hope; Geula, which means redemption; Tekiah, forgive my pronunciations, please; Tekiah, which means life-giving; Nechama, which means comfort; and Segula, which means virtue. Now, we should note that, as CBS News reported about 3 weeks ago, a spokesman for the military arm of Hamas claimed that it was the arrival in Israel of these five red heifers from Texas that prompted Hamas to attack last October 7th. This, of course, is just an excuse. Hamas would have attacked at some point anyway, but they're trying to cast blame on Israel. And, of course, the CBS News report did make it sound as though Israeli Jews are just a bunch of radical religious, not fundamentalists, but crazed persons wanting to provoke war with the Palestinian Arabs by pushing ahead with plans to build a third temple. When you talk to Orthodox Jews, and we have friends who are Orthodox Jews in Israel, they really don't want a third temple because they know it would result in violence. So we've got the synagogues now. Why do we need a third temple? Yeah. If you've watched Skywatch TV in recent weeks, you'll know that Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat and Pastor Carl Gallups had something very interesting to say about that when they visited the Temple Institute in Jerusalem to find out how much money it would take, because they're soliciting donations. How much money will it take to build a third temple? And the bottom line is the answer was, how much have you got? It's really about political donations and not about actually building the third temple. Anyway, while this was going on Friday, Israel conducted its deadliest airstrikes in Syria in months. The death toll there, over 40. Reportedly, this was deep in Syria, northern Syria's Aleppo province. The dead reportedly included Syrian soldiers, Hezbollah militants, and civilians. On another note, Israel's official count for the hostages still being held in Gaza, still at 134, mostly Israeli citizens, but a few foreigners, including U.S. citizens. And the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reporting on Friday that Israeli officials now believe that there are only 60 to 70 of those 134 who are still alive. And we also note that on Sunday evening, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu underwent surgery for a hernia, to repair a hernia. This was after the war cabinet meeting on Sunday evening. We will get details on his condition in the days ahead, I'm sure. Topic number two, a data leak. AT&T customers, 73 million of them, had data leaked onto the dark web. This reported by CNN over the weekend. Current and former customers, AT&T has launched an investigation. It does not appear that the information comes from any more recently than 2019, but does include names, social security numbers. Doesn't appear to include financial information, but about 7.6 million current account holders with AT&T were affected, as well as 65.4 million former account holders. You might consider, if you are current or former AT&T account holder, updating passwords on your various accounts. Coming up, a mystery in the Florida Keys. Straight ahead on 5 and 10.
In 2023, following one of the most legendary and prophetic ministerial careers the world has ever seen, my father, the late Dr. Thomas R. Horn, began what would become his final book. After collaborating with Defender Publishing's Ali Anderson and myself, he had just completed his master manuscript before his untimely passing in October of last year. During his final conversations, he was still emphasizing that this message had to get out, that it was of paramount importance that the world was made aware of what was coming.
Society has absolutely no idea what they're embracing, what they've invited in, even welcomed it as the future savior of humanity. This will ultimately be the one thing that brings about our own demise.
If humanity survives, it will unequivocally alter life as we know it.
By the time people realize the danger that they've embraced, it will be too late. It will have become unstoppable.
Updating social credit score, citizen 193-4265.
One final book. One final warning. The world is not ready for what is coming.
Dr. Thomas R. Horn, Joe Artis Horn, Ali Anderson. Summoning the Demon, coming March 2024 from Defender Publishing.
Item number one today, why are fish spinning themselves to death in Florida? This is a mystery. Fish and wildlife officials, the state's Bonefish and Tarpon Trust, have been investigating reports, up to 200 so far, 30 different species involved, swimming in circles until they die. Nobody knows why this is happening. Most of the reports coming from the Lower Keys, but some from as far north as Miami. The most promising lead they have, suspect, is a single-celled algae called Gambierdiscus. It's known to produce neurotoxins, and it's showing up in record high amounts, but nobody knows why. Hope they get to the bottom of this. This is disturbing. I think the only thing we can say for sure is that somebody will wind up blaming this on climate change. Skywatch TV's virtual conference, Countering the Darkness. Countering the Darkness. Defender Conference, Countering the Darkness, a virtual conference, which means you have access to all of the presentations for 90 days, and you watch them on your schedule. This includes Tom Horn's last presentation for Skywatch TV, but many others, and you, as a free bonus, all six feature-length Skywatch Films documentaries. You can find out more and sign up today at defenderconference.com. That's defenderconference.com. This week on Skywatch TV, we begin a new series, the final book. Tom Horn involved in this, but co-authored by Ali Anderson, Donna Howell, Joe Artis Horn, called Summoning the Demon. The title comes from a quote attributed to Elon Musk, who said in an interview that creating artificial intelligence is literally summoning the demon, and yet we're proceeding and we're doing it anyway. What does this involve, and could this be involved somehow in the prophetic fulfillment of creating the image of the beast? Don't miss the next 4 weeks of programs. You'll find it right now at our website, skywatchtv.com. You can watch it over the air. One of our partner networks, our broadcast schedule, is set at skywatchtv.com/channels. It's available right now at Apple TV and Roku if you have the Skywatch TV app for your set-top box. You can also see it right now at Rumble, rumble.com/skywatchtv. All of our content is there. Better yet, get our free mobile app, which brings all of our content directly from us to you. And we will not be canceled from our own app. It's available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets, and we have links to those app stores at our website, skywatchtv.com. In just over a month, Sharon and I plan to go to Israel. We are putting together what we're calling a solidarity mission to Israel, to stand shoulder to shoulder with the people there and bear witness without the filter of the corporate media here in the West as to what happened there. We will visit several communities in the South, have a barbecue with IDF soldiers, visit Hostage Square in Tel Aviv. We'll also go to the important sites in Jerusalem that you want to see, the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, the historical locations of the crucifixion and resurrection site, the burial tomb of Jesus. They're not the ones on most of the tours. You can find out more at our website. This, again, is not a Skywatch TV event. Joe Horn is very graciously allowing me to talk about it here. GilbertHouse.org/travel. GilbertHouse.org/travel. And we hope we see you in the Holy Land. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.